how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So there it is. The leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees is the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees and the Sadducees obviously were two sects. The Sadducees were a little different. They were more of the upper classes, sort of the wealthy sect, from what I understand. I'm not an expert on those ancient sects. I focus mostly on the teachings of Jesus himself. But I know that they said there is no resurrection as part of their doctrine. But similarly, they were interested in, they were very skeptical of Jesus' ministry. They were very skeptical of him. You know, as we cover the Gospels, we'll see how they would question him and lay traps for him and try to get him to say something amiss. And they could accuse him. So at this point, you know, they don't know necessarily what has just happened, and it's on his mind, and they don't have any bread. And so when he says to them, this, you know, beware of their leaven, they don't get it. And they immediately say, well, it's because we've taken no bread. They thought, oh, okay, leaven. And they start associating whatever they can. They say, well, we don't have any bread. Maybe saying, beware that, you know, you don't walk around without any food, because you never know when trouble's going to come, or when I might need to divide some for another miracle, or something. You know, they might have been sort of like just taking it as logically as they could. It says, oh, ye of little faith. An interesting contrast here between the woman of the Canaanite woman of Matthew 15:26, when he says it's not fit to give the children's bread, to give it to the dogs. And there's another, you know, analogy. You're like a dog. The Pharisees' doctrine is like leaven. And so, but she saw an implication in that thing. The dogs eat of the master's table, don't they? You don't give them the bread, but the crumbs do come down to the dogs, don't they? So she saw the implications of being a dog. And she went with it. She said, I'm a dog? Okay, I'm a dog. Let me have some crumbs. And he was so impressed. He said, great is your faith. Your faith is great. Here he says, you have little faith. You don't see the implications here. The implications. The leaven. The leaven. Leaven gets... What does leaven do? That's the thing. It's not just like, oh, he means it's their doctrine. But what is the implication, ye of little faith? A little leaven leavens the whole lump, is the point. You just need a pinch of yeast and a whole bunch of flour to ruin the whole thing. And I don't speak in the literal sense, because I like yeasted bread. It's not the point. The point is that the leaven causes a change to happen in the bread. It causes it to inflate. It causes it to grow beyond what it naturally would be without the leaven. Beyond what the solid, unleavened loaf would look like. It becomes something unnatural, something different. And the same thing with the doctrine. That's what he's saying. You know how I gave the 5,000 we fed? We took five loaves, we divided among 5,000 people. They all ate and were full, and there was extra left over. And what did that represent? The leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees is that what the Lord did was never enough for man. That man always has to add in their little tiny bit. And that little tiny bit, over time, when it gets in the right humidity and heat, it causes it to rise. And it causes it to be more bread. But it's really just air that's in there. It hasn't added anything good to the bread. It has only inflated it. But the thing of that is, it's not so much that, well, yeast doesn't harm bread. That's not the point. That's not the implication. The implication is that it changes it. And that it affects the whole thing. That's why a little bit of false doctrine destroys the entire ministry. What, Paul? We can have little differences. What's the big deal? No, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you pervert the doctrine of the resurrection, you've perverted the whole bread. If you pervert the doctrine of the judgment of God, you've perverted the whole bread. If you do not have the teachings of Christ as Christ taught them, then you've perverted the whole thing. You can't take, well, 99% of what he says is good. No. 1% is enough to leaven the whole thing. 1% of corruption in 99% uncorruption makes the whole thing corrupt. That is the teaching of Jesus Christ. That is the way he taught this doctrine. You can't just say it any way you want it. You can't say, you know, people come to me all the time. Well, the ministers you criticize, they're just 90% correct. I mean, can't we all, I mean, you probably make mistakes too. And it's not the point about making a mistake. It's about having corrupt doctrine, teachings that are contrary to the teachings of Christ. Like the scriptures say, you know, like Jesus said, you make void the scriptures by your tradition. The scriptures say God only hath immortality. Timothy 6:16, I think it's 1 Timothy 6:16. And it says God only has immortality. But what do they say? Oh, we all have immortal souls, according to Augustine, according to some man. And that leaven, that little bit of leaven, had gotten into the doctrine of Christ ages ago, and it corrupted that entire church. That's why the Catholic Church, as it stood, you know, it didn't need a reformation. No, it needed to be torn down. And I tell you, we're going to tear down all the churches that have leaven. We're going to purge out all the leaven. We're going to tear it down, break it down, burn it down. It's all going to come down because what has been built is not according to Christ. What has been built is an unnatural corruption of what Jesus Christ originally created. It is a perversion of the truth. It is a destruction of truth. It is absolutely unacceptable before God. And we're not talking about bread here. We're talking about the doctrine of Christ. You cannot have the doctrine of Christ mingled with false doctrine, because that leavens the whole thing. The whole thing becomes corrupt. That's why, you know, I don't say, oh, this ministry is mostly good. There's no such thing. The ministries are, make the tree good and its fruit good, or the tree fruit good, the tree evil and its fruit evil. You can't have a halfway tree. You know, but I hear this from Christians all the time, and that in and of itself is a corruption of doctrine. To say to me that, well, you know, everyone makes mistakes, and the doctrine can't be expected to be perfect, and blah, 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 yak, 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 yak. It's all man's wisdom. They don't know what they're talking about. They themselves are corrupted with leaven. They themselves are the servants of corruption, and the preachers of corruption, and the teachers of corruption, and they are the promulgators of corruption. They spread the corruption because they prophesy and preach. The corruption is the order of the day. The imperfection is the way God intended things to be. That nothing can be expected to be right. Nothing can be expected to be whole. Nothing can be expected to be pure because of their doctrine. And their doctrine is the problem. They are the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You want to see the work of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Go to any church on any Sunday, and you will see the leaven at work. Because in there is the leaven. The leaven is mixed in, and it's puffing things up and perverting things. You know, things they received by tradition, things they received from the elders, things they received in their youth. We don't even see it. We have to actually go hunt it down. It's something that grows in our mind. It is something that is there. It is other. It is not from the gospel, but it is what men have told us. Oh, did you know this, that, the other?